There's much confusion over the topic I wish to take up at this time. Even true Christians may be uncertain concerning the assurance of salvation and what happens when a Christian sins. Now let's think first of all what our salvation depends on. The Bible emphasizes the fact that man is sinful. Let me read some verses from Romans chapter 3. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it speaketh to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may be brought under the judgment of God, because by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so our sinfulness is emphasized time and time again in the Scripture. And there's no exception to this. I can say to you on the authority of God's word, you're a sinner. You've failed. Your life is not what it should be. You've broken God's law. You haven't even lived up to your own standards, your own conscience, much less what God's word has to say. And the Scripture emphasizes that there's a helplessness about us. This is what makes it so tragic. And in our own experience, we've had times, haven't we, when we've wanted to do better. We've tried, and yet we've known a sense of weakness and failure. And this is what Romans again brings out when it says, when we were without strength, when we were weak, in due season Christ died for us. So that here the weakness, the inability of man to do that which is right in himself is brought out. Now, if we're to be saved then, our salvation must depend not on our own efforts, because our efforts are marked by failure and sin. And of course, the Scripture brings out the fact that here Christ comes in answer to all of our needs. And he comes, lives a perfect life, goes to the cross, allows men to nail him to that cross, suffers this terrible death upon that cross. And the Bible says that while he hung there, he was bearing our sin in his body. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So Christ is presented here as the one who is bearing the sin of the world, who is suffering for the sin of the world. And when he hung on that cross, his death was paying for your sin. His suffering was an atonement for your sin. And when he cried, O my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was because of your sin. He was suffering for you. He was tasting death for you. He was going through the punishment you deserve in hell forever when he hung on that cross. Now, in view of this, the Scripture emphasizes that salvation is through his death. His death satisfies God. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, he says in Galatians 3. And so Christ became a curse. He took the penalty. He suffered for you and for me on that cross. And God is satisfied with this. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so here we realize that our salvation does not depend upon our efforts. It's not our works. It's the gift of God. And it depends on Christ's work. He died for you. He suffered for you. He paid for your sin. And God says, I'll forgive you and I'll save you if you'll accept my Son. Have you done this? Can you say, I know that I'm saved? Can you say, I know Christ is my Savior? If I should die even today, I would go to be with the Lord. Can you say that? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law being made a curse for us. Now, what does our assurance depend on? I'd like to suggest that while salvation depends on Christ's work, that our assurance depends on God's word. Now, salvation is a relationship with God. It's not something material. You can't hold salvation in your hand as an object and pull it out of your pocket and show it to people and say, look, I have salvation. It's a relationship with God, a right relationship with God. Your sins are forgiven. You're a child of God. And so this is a relationship. And you cannot see a relationship. The only way you can really know it exists is because of the word of the person and because of his actions toward you. Now, God has showed to you that he loves you. Oh, his actions have proved this. God commends or guarantees his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so the scripture makes this very, very plain. There's no question that God loves us from his actions. Now, how can I be sure that I'm in a right relationship with God? How can I be sure God loves me, that I'm saved? I must learn to depend on what God says. This is so important. In a marriage relationship, how does the wife know that her husband really loves her? Well, because he tells her so, and she knows his sincerity, and she senses this when he says, I love you. She realizes he means this. He does love me. And this is something that reassures her so that she has real joy and happiness in her marriage relationship. She knows that her husband does love and care for her. There must be confidence in his word. If a wife begins to doubt the word of her husband, and she says, well, he says he loves me, but really I think he's running around with some other woman. The moment this kind of thinking comes in, then all happiness is gone. She must believe in her husband. She must trust her husband. And when we think of our relationship to God, God has given us some very definite, very plain promises. And you, if you've accepted his son, need to trust God. You need to believe God. You need to be confident because this is the word of God. God says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. His promise is that if you will believe in his Son, and receive him in other words, that you will have everlasting life. Do you believe God? This is his promise. In John 5:24, the Lord Jesus speaking says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Do you believe the word of the Lord Jesus? He says, if you hear, if you believe him, if you believe God, if you accept his word, if you, from your heart, really have confidence in what he says, then he says you have everlasting life. You will not come into judgment. You need to depend upon God's promise on what he says, and he says, I'll save you if you will accept my son. Now, he doesn't say you'll know you're saved by how you feel. He doesn't encourage us to look within ourselves at all. The encouragement is, look at the word of God and see this promise. Now, you remember Paul was in a terrible storm as he was on his way to Rome. The ship was being beaten. It looked as if the ship would be lost with all hands on deck, aboard the ship, going down with it. And we think of how he said to the other sailors who were aboard the ship, he said, there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am, whom also I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must stand before Caesar, and lo, God hath granted thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it hath been spoken unto me. And in the midst of this storm, Paul stands up and he says, I believe God. I don't believe that this ship will be lost with all hands on board. I believe that we're going to be saved. Why? Because an angel of God has stood by me, and he's given me this promise. And I believe the word of God. I stand on his word. Can you, if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, can you say that today? Can you say, I believe God. I know I'm saved. I've trusted his son. God promises me that whoever will accept him has everlasting life. How wonderful just to stand on God's word, to be confident, because this is what God says. Now let me read with regard to Abraham and his faith when God promised him a son. Even though he was old, even though Sarah was old, long past the age of having children, still it says Abraham believed he would have a child. He was in Romans 4:21, we read, he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. I hope today that you're trusting in the word of God. You can say, I know I'm saved. I'm sure because I believe what God says and I'm standing on his word. Now let me say also that fellowship as a Christian depends on reading the word of God and prayer. If you're going to make progress as a Christian, if you're going to be happy, if you're going to live a useful life, you must read the word of God, you must pray. This must be a part of your life. As we read the word of God, he speaks to us. He will remind us of his love. He'll remind us of what Christ has done, what he is doing, and what he will do for us, of his coming again. He'll point out sin to us. And this can be kind of unpleasant, can't it? But we'll come to see in our lives things that are wrong. Now, what's our response going to be? And this is very critical here. What will our response be as the Word of God points out to us things that we realize are not right? They're sin. We're doing the wrong thing. Let me read these verses in 1 John chapter 1. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now here he says we can't expect to be sinless. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If you think you are not committing any sin, you're only fooling yourself. But as we see sin in our lives, as the scripture points us out to us, what is to be our response? We're to confess it. We're to say, Lord, I'm sorry for this. I'm sorry for this time when I lied, when I was hateful, when I was envious, when I did this thing that your word says is wrong. We're to tell him we're sorry. And if we've hurt someone else, we're to go to them and confess our sin to him. And then we're to just trust the Lord for strength to live as he would have us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And then this happy relationship, this fellowship between us and our Father is preserved and we go on happily together. Oh, Christian, read your word, pray and confess your sins and put them away and look to the Lord for the help to live as you know he would have you. This is the happy life, the good life.